Welcome to Diary of a Sheep Dairy Farmer, where we talk all things dairy sheep, from breeding to lambing to milking and everything in between and outside. I'm your host, Becca, owner, operator, and glorified farmhand of Hidden Hollow Sheep Dairy. Welcome back, guys, for another day of dairy sheep. We have started our spring lambing group, and so far, they are producing as expected. In the last 10 days, I have had one single, two sets of triplets, and five sets of twins. A far cry difference from our late winter lambing that saw one set of triplets, far too many singles, and too few twins. But it is what I planned for, since there were going to be so many first-time lambers. I did not want twins. I got what I wanted. I got what I paid for, so I can't complain. This time, I have all my experience ewes, and I am expecting a bumper crop of lambs. Last lambing group, I kept lambs that were out of specific rams for the sole reason that I hadn't milked the ewes to know what I wanted to keep from them. So I kept the ram lines that I knew were good milkers, plus any black lambs because, well, I'm obsessed. So this lambing group has some of my best milkers and my oldest ewes in it. I will be doing a heavy cull once these lambs are weaned, which means I will also need some replacement lambs. And who better to replace moms than their lambs? I want to make sure of three things when looking for my replacement lambs. Teeth, teats, and toes. These are the first three things I look for. On a lamb, they're a little hard to tell, so we need to look at mom. Are her teeth straight? Are they worn down or crooked? The older a sheep gets, the more worn down they're going to be, but you want to look for basically like a human tooth. Are they bad teeth? Are they cracked? Are they broken? Does she have rotted spots? You just want to make sure that she has good teeth because they need to be able to eat, and their teeth are how they eat. So they need their teeth for grass and for hay. So I just want to make sure that they have good teeth that they will pass on to their lambs so that there will be no issues eating. How do her feet look? Does she need trimmed up constantly? On our farm, we have lots of rocks that keep our ewes trimmed up for us, but every now and then we do come across a ewe that for some reason her hooves have grown out, and I usually cull those ewes because I honestly have so much going on. I don't have time to trim up all of my ewes. I prefer them to have the good, solid, hard hooves that wear themselves down on all of the rocks that we have. And I won't keep a lamb out of a ewe that has overgrown toes due to a genetic issue. Now, sheep's hooves do need trimmed about every 3 months or so. Some people do them more and some do them less. In the 10 years I've had my sheep, I've only had to trim up a couple of ewes, and they did end up getting culled. Our land keeps their hooves short, which is one less job for me. Our rams, on the other hand, need done constantly. Their pasture and pens do not have the rocks and the gravel to keep their hooves trimmed up, so they do get done as needed. Since the lambs haven't developed their udders yet for me to see what they will look like, I have to go by mom's udder and hope for the best. I want to know where the teat placement is on the ewes. Dairy sheep, unfortunately, have not been bred with good teat placement. They're not ideal. An ideal ewe would have their teats pointed down like a goat. Dairy goats have like the perfect placement for teats. But you will find for like most of dairy sheep, they're like pointed off to the side, kind of under their back leg. And this is a challenge. It is something that is being worked on as to how to get better teat placement in dairy sheep. but it's going to be a long process. Now, some dairy ewes have four teats. I don't know if this is something people see in meat breeds of sheep as well or not. I just don't know. But this topic always seems to come up as an undesirable trait. People want to know if they can pinch off the extra teats when the lambs are born with them. I never have. To me, it just doesn't matter. Those extra teats usually aren't in working order. They aren't a genetic defect that keeps a ewe from producing milk or nursing her lambs. To me, they aren't an issue. But boy, do people get fired up about them. I just don't bother with them. So what I want in my ewes is a full udder with a strong medial suspensory ligament. This is where the udder sits under the ewe and where it is attached. I want a uniform udder, not one that's dragging on the ground. While this dragging bag may look great in pictures and look how much milk my ewe is giving, this will shorten the production of that ewe. She will not be able to sustain the milk production for the longevity of her life, and it can cause injury to her where she could stop producing. So I want her teats pointed as downward as possible, not to the sides or to the front, and for her bag to sit up and kind of cradled between her back legs. If the ewe has a good udder, her lamb is a keeper. This is the most important aspect I look for, because since I milk my sheep, I want that good udder. I want the udder that I know is going to withstand the lifespan of the ewe. Then I look for their teeth and their toes. So after we get the physical components out of the way, I look at three more things: the family history, genetics, the siblings, were they a twin, a single or a triplet, and their milking records. So I go over the lamb's family history with a magnifying glass. I want to know everything. I keep extensive records going back 10 years to my first sheep. I want to know who her parents' parents are. I want to know who their parents are. Where did they come from? Did I breed and raise them? Or did I buy them? Why did I sell them? Why did I keep them? Who did I breed them to? Why did I breed them to that ram? Has it improved that genetic line, or has it gotten worse? I double check to see if lambs are singles, twins, or triplets. Full disclosure, any triplet ewe automatically stays no matter what. No questions asked, I keep them. Twins are a 50-50. I have my favorite bloodlines that I always keep, so those lambs stay no matter what, and they usually tend to be out of my best milking lines. And then for those twins, I look at the milking lines, and then I go back and I check, like I said before, I want to know the family history. I check how mom looks, how the components all add up on the mom. And then singles are kind of held to a higher standard. I know there are those who will say, get rid of all your singles because all they will ever have are singles. I have 10 years of records to dispute that. That too is a 50-50 shot. I have a couple singletons that I have kept over the years who year one, they give me a single, which is what I want. Year two, they give me either twins or triplets, and same with year three and onward. Sometimes they'll throw a single in there, but for the majority, they will give me twins. Singles do grow bigger and faster than your twins and triplets because they don't have to share mom's milk with anyone. And I find that ram lambs, once weathered, are an easy sell. So single ram lambs are like my bread and butter. They grow faster, they look bigger. I can sell them as once they're weaned, and people really just love them. They take them instantly. I don't worry a whole lot about keeping singles, especially if mom is a great milker and has amazing genetics and family history. Milking records, though not the last thing I look for, is last on our list. This is probably the second most important to me after the bloodlines, family history, genetics, whatever you want to call it. I can look up a ewe and see if she is a gallon a day milker or a pint a day milker. The more milk the ewe gives, the better chance of her lamb staying gets. The less milk, the less chance. So let's run a scenario on one of my best ewes. Weglia is a 2017 ewe. She is East Frisian, Lucane, and a small percent Owasi. I bought her in 2019 and, or no, sorry, I bought her in 2018 and bred her for a 2019 lamb. So her first year she lambed with me was 2019 and she had a single ewe lamb. I didn't milk her, but I did keep the lamb. Year two, she gave me twin ewes. I kept one and I milked Weglia. The one I kept was just a little bit bigger. She had a flatter back line. She just overall looked better. She was a little more perky. She was just it for me. The reason I kept her, I don't even know how to put it into words without putting like a picture by picture of the two lambs next to each other. There was just something about the one that drew me to her rather than the other one. But they had the same demographics across the board for both of them. One just looked better in my eyes than the other, which is why I only kept one. Okay, so I kept one and I milked Weglia. She averaged about 4 to 5 pounds of milk a day. Year three, she had twin ewes again, and I did keep both of them. I milked Weglia and she averaged about 5 pounds of milk a day. Year four, which would have been last year, she had a single ewe, and I did not milk her last year, but I did milk her daughter from her first year, and she averaged over just over 7 pounds a day, so around half a gallon per day for both ewes, per ewe. And I'm excited to see what Weglia will give us this year. She is due middle of May. So that single daughter that she gave me my first year that I had her, who is Boise, gave me twin ewes her first year. I kept one and I did not milk her. And then year two, she had triplet rams and averaged about 4 pounds a day of milk. And year three, which would have been last year, she had triplet rams and that was the year she gave me about 7 pounds of milk a day. And sadly, we lost Boise over the winter. So I will not be getting any more lambs from her, but thankfully I still have her mother, so hopefully I can continue on with breeding up that line. So Boise's daughter, the one that I kept, ended up miscarrying her lambs her first year, which would have been last year. Don't know why, just luck of the draw, unfortunately. So we will see what she has for us in a couple of weeks when she lambs. And then one of Weglia's other daughters that would have been her, let's see, would have been the twin that I kept. So it would have been her second year. And she gave me a single her first time out, a set of twins on year two, which would have been last year. Or no, I guess technically that would have been in November because she is on our off-season breeding group. So until she regulates around to my spring, my February, March, April, or May group, in that late winter, early spring group, she won't be milked yet. You would think that I would have a lot of free time in the fall and winter to milk my sheep, but I find I have a hard time milking in the fall and winter. I think part of it is I don't like the cold and I'm kind of a weenie. If I don't have to go out and do something, I don't want to. So it's easier for me to milk when I know the warmer weather is coming and I just like doing the springtime milking. But that just goes to show that singles can have multiples and multiples can have singles. Genetics play a big part in it. But so do the rams and what you feed. But that is another day's discussion. So let's talk real quick about what the rams bring to the table besides half your lamb's genetics. As I mentioned, I kept lambs from my February-March group based solely on the rams. I didn't even look at the ewes to see what I wanted to keep from those bloodlines. Since I breed, raise, and keep my own rams, I know their genetics pretty well. Anyone who knows me knows I am a little obsessed when it comes to my rams. I keep the rams out of my best milkers, so I know when I look at the lamb and I see who her dad is, I know I'm getting the best of what my boys can produce. So I know that if I put Weglia with Viper, it used to be with Ace, but Ace ended up dying. He was 10 years old. He was an old ram. He was my best ram, but I knew exactly what I was going to get from that breeding, and they were amazing ewes. But I also know if I put Weglia with Viper, who is half East Frisian, half Lucane, and I know how good his lambs are and what his breeding is and how his prodigy, that's the word I'm looking for, how they do on the milking stand, I know that he produces good milking ewes. So if I can cross him with a good milking ewe already, I get a fabulous lamb. So I'm really excited to see what I'm going to get this year. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap this one up. I have lambs to check on and farm work to do. It's never ending this time of year. As always, I appreciate you being here and I thank you for your support. I would be ever so grateful if you would leave a review or share this podcast with your dairy sheep loving friends. Anything to get the word out. As always, you can find me on Instagram at Diary of a Sheep Dairy Farmer. And if you want to follow the chaos around the farm, you can find me on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Hidden Hollow Sheep Dairy. If there are any topics you're interested in, or if you are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please let me know. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll talk to you again next week.